looking at tonight is the matter of being faithful and not quitting. And we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to read beginning at verse 14. If you'll follow in your Bible, 2 Kings 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice, and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, Thou shouldst have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Israel till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Israel, shall smite Syria, but thrice. Complete victory would never be known by King Joash. Why? Because he gave up before his supply was gone. He stopped before he needed to.
Amen. Good.
And, one said, well, it seems unfair because Joash wasn't told how often to smite. And indeed, this particular text doesn't tell him how often to smite. But listen to me. God never requires of man something but what he gives that man the instruction. And so I believe we can with confidence say that Elisha would have instructed Joash regarding how often with the arrows to smite the ground. Nevertheless, however we view it, the fact is he stopped before he needed to. In other words, he quit.
Yep.
And because he gave up, he would not overcome Syria. You've heard it said already, life is a rat race. I've said that frequently. And I've also followed it up with, and it seems like the rats are winning. So, stop the world and let me off, is many times some of the feelings that we have. There are times when we give up and we feel like quitting. Quitting the job, quitting the service, quitting the task, a duty that God has given to us. Webster's dictionary defines quitting to abandon, leave, or forsake. The Hain dictionary says give up and drop out. All right. Quitting could be considered the opposite of faithfulness. For surely when one quits, his faithfulness diminishes, and in the area in which he quit, it totally stops. No longer being faithful. Christian living isn't always easy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Christian living isn't always easy. A key requirement of Christian living is told to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. I'm sure you've heard it before. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Right.
Now, what are some of the causes of quitting? I'm going to look at that tonight. What are the causes of quitting? The reasons that some people quit. Not the excuses, okay, but the reasons why people at times quit. The first one is that they may be overworked. Okay? Now we're thinking about the Lord's work. We're thinking about in the church. And one of the reasons why people quit is because they're overworked. Too much to do. Too much to do that is beyond their capability of handling so much. The current terminology for this is burnout. Well, what happened to Bill? Where's Bill at? Well, he just burned out. In other words, he had too much to do. He couldn't do it all. He couldn't keep up with it all. I've explained it. Some people are two-job people. Some are three-job people. A few might be four-job people. Now, when I say a job in the things of the Lord, I'm thinking of something that may be, for example, weekly. Something that would have a requirement of preparation to do it, as well as the performance of doing it. And so you think about that, and something that's done very regularly, and it takes preparation to do it, as well as when you're there, you're doing it. And if a person is overworked, if they're a two-job person, and they're trying to hold down three or four jobs, what's going to happen is they're going to burn out. It's beyond their capacity. Now, many times people get into that situation because they're very sincere, very desirous of serving the Lord. They see needs and they want to help meet those needs. So the motive isn't always wrong, but in the fact, if they're a two-job person, they ought not, with any kind of regularity, try and handle three or four jobs. Now, sometimes, you know, the two-job person is, you know, they might see something needs done and it's short-term, and so they stretch themselves in order to be able to help meet that need, but it doesn't last. It's temporary, you see. The same way as a lot of times there's various things that need to be done around the church, and you might be a three or four-job person. There's things that need to be done around the church, but it's a once-and-done type of thing. We're going to wash the windows, okay? We're going to rake the lawn, or, you know, we're going to do something that, again, is just a one-time thing. And so we, again, squeeze that sort of thing in to our schedules. But if a person is overworked. Now, what's the solution? Don't quit. Don't quit. Rather, resign whatever job needs to be and recoup. Okay? Don't quit. Resign and recoup. Now, you know, the first time I shared this sort of thing, I was a little in fear and trepidation. Because here I am telling somebody, hey, you might need to resign a job. Well, now, guess who they're going to resign it to?
Yeah.
Would have been to me. And so I'm thinking to myself, what am I setting myself up for? But you see, the church doesn't benefit when one of its faithful workers gets overloaded.
That's right.
And that faithful worker burns out from it. When that happens, the task won't be getting done. Plus, you've got an individual who has been severely damaged and hindered in their Christian walk at that point in their life. And so sometimes people are overworked. Another reason why people quit is because they are assuming or accepting a task beyond their ability. Okay? Now, if you have too much to do, you're beyond your capability. Okay? But in this situation, if you take on a task beyond your ability, for example, if we find out that something's wrong with the furnace, and I've got a free day, and you know, hey, I'll take a look at it. It's beyond my ability. I don't know a thing about a furnace. But, you know, like the guy who puts the hood up in a car, you know, puts the hood up in the car and says, yep, there's an engine. Yep. You know. And so, you can, again, in sincerity, you can take on a task that is beyond your ability. Now, I'll give you a recurrent example of this. A very current example of this has to do with that. What's that thing there called? What's that area?
Choir loft.
Thank you. Choir loft. Okay. Now, Pat's going to lead the choir at the piano. Okay, she'll play the piano, but she'll lead the choir. And I'll be, I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, to tell you the truth, I got involved in bringing about a choir. I think maybe it's because I'm the voice. Okay, not the singing voice. And I'm the speaking voice. And so we'll work together on it. But it would be beyond my ability to lead a choir. Oh, I can get a bunch of people together. I can pick out a song. I can tell them, go ahead and sing. Okay, I can hold my hand up and say, stop singing, and so on. But it's beyond my ability. Now, it's within her ability. But I use that merely as an example. And you may know at times through the work of the Lord of people who have taken on tasks, like I say, can be very sincere. And what's the solution for this? Again, resign. Don't quit. Resign and reassign. Get yourself reassigned to something within your capability.
Amen.
Okay? Within your ability to do. Now, the third reason why people quit at times is that discouragement. Now, I know we don't have any of that here. Okay? So, I'm just telling you, this is how it is some other places. But discouragement, it can come from many directions.
Yes,
you might be, first of all, alone in the work. I've had a saying that I've gone by, if you got the burden, you got the job. Okay?
<Yeah.
laughs> You see the need? You got the job. Now, there's got to be exceptions to that sort of thing, because somebody may see a need, but they don't have the ability to do it. They just observe something that needs to be done. But nevertheless, if you have something and you were burdened for it and you've taken the job, you could become discouraged if nobody else gets the same burden that you have. Now listen. If God gave you the burden for it, don't fault other people if He didn't give them the burden.
Right.
Okay? If God gave you the burden and you may be the only one there, listen, you doing it is better than no one doing it. You alone serving is better than no one else serving. And you've heard the song already, brighten the corner where you are.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a person will take a job to do and they get so excited and so fired up about it, and they expect the whole church to light up and blaze the way they feel. No, you just let your light shine in the corner and do the job, and the Lord will bless. A second reason for discouragement can be misunderstanding. You see, our task is to sow. God's task is to reap. And therefore, we're to sow and others are to reap. A Sunday school teacher could become discouraged if they don't see the students light up with enthusiasm about the word to the extent that they have. But you just keep teaching. You're planting the seed. When you pray for your students throughout the week, you're watering the seed of the word that daily or weekly you are planting in their lives. And so ours is to sow, God's is to reap, and He will certainly do that. Another reason for discouragement is if you're criticized by another. Now again, I know that doesn't happen in Black Creek, but I've been in some churches where that's happened.
Oh, yeah.
Where people were criticized by another one. First of all, let me say this. We who are workers should not be guilty of this. Just like we don't like to be criticized for something we do, we should not be guilty of therefore criticizing somebody else for what they do. You know, there's got to be a Bible verse that fits this. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And you see, what I was thinking of was what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Huh? If the shoe fits, wear it type of thing. But what's this? That's pure King James, yes. Now, you see, here's another thing about this matter of being discouraged and maybe coming from being criticized, and that is this. If you're thin-skinned, you want to be very careful about how much responsibility you take. Because the more responsibility you have, the more you'll be scrutinized. The more visible your service is, the more you'll be scrutinized. You may have something to do that's very visible, but isn't really big in responsibility, but it's visible. And therefore, you lay yourself to criticism. We should not be thin-skinned. And if you have a problem with that, it very well could simply be a part of your personality, a part of your DNA. You know, we blame everything in DNA today. But it could really be, you know, because not everybody is. And the things that are said, you know, to people is when they're in Christian service, you know, to one person, it just rolls off like water off a duck's back, and to another person, man, it just shakes them to their foundation. And so criticism can be a source of discouragement. And then lastly, being taken for granted can be another reason for being discouraged. What we're doing for Jesus. If we're not doing it for Jesus, we probably ought not to be doing it. No, let me change that. If we're not doing it for Jesus, we shouldn't be doing it. Whether you're teaching a class,
right,
whether you're using musical abilities, whether you're raking lawn, okay, whatever we're doing, holding an office in the church, anything that we're doing, we should be doing it for Christ and because we believe Christ wants us to do it. And if we're not, then we're going to get discouraged because we don't have the unction of the Holy Spirit in our service. And so we should not take people for granted. You know, within the church, within this church, we have many people. No, we have a few people that do many jobs. Because a church even in the basic level, if we start with level 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, and it goes up with the amount of workers needed, with the amount of responsibilities according to the size of a congregation, but there's still a basic, and that basic level requires a lot of tasks to be done. And the fewer number of people you have to do those tasks means the more that those few people will have to do. And so we should not take each other for granted. The church getting clean, the fellowship meals, okay? The preparation for the Lord's Supper, the mowing the lawn, the cleaning the bathrooms. Say, did you ever notice that when you need toilet paper or hand towel, you go to a certain closet or area and it's there? You know what? It doesn't grow there. Somebody had to go out and buy it. And we know there's certain positions like a treasurer. Okay, we see Jennifer and Pam, Wolfram works with her, and they, you know, they come up and take the plates, and they sit on these front pews, and they count the money, and we see that happening. But who sees the person who goes and buys the hand towel?
Amen.
You see? But that's important. Every little task in the church is important. We should not take people for granted. And if you get discouraged over these things, over being alone in the work or misunderstanding that your task is sowing, God's is reaping, being criticized by others or being taken for granted, again, don't quit. Just go to the Lord, talk to Him about it in prayer, and ask Him to bring your heart and mind in line with His thinking and the task that He has for you. Oh, by the way, here on this taken for granted business, don't ever hesitate to thank somebody for something they do.
Amen.
When you're done eating, and I've heard this, I'm just encouraging more of it. When you're done eating on a Sunday, if you stay for the noon meal, before you leave that basement, just stick your head up toward the serving window and thank whoever's back there for what they did. Okay? And if you happen to know who's on the cleaning list, you know, thank them for doing that on a given week. Maybe sometime you see Jen walking out to leave, you know. Don't hesitate to say to her, "Oh, Jen, thanks for being treasurer." Okay? Anything of any sort. Sunday school teachers, every one of them. Definitely those of you with children in the classes, you need to be thanking. But even us older folks who don't have children in it, don't even have maybe grandchildren in it, I don't have anybody in it. But it's great to know that we have teachers and we need to be thanking them. Then the next reason why sometimes people quit is because of wrong motivation. Why, and I alluded to this already, why does a person take a job or have a job? If it's not for the Lord, if it's for self, I feel important having it. Even if it's a good thing, I want to be part of the work team here. But it's not because it's something the Lord wants. It's something you want. You want to be part of people that are doing things. Now, there's a good side to that. But the bad side is when you don't wait for the Lord to put you into something, but you just go ahead and take a task merely to have the task. And then, of course, there's times where people, and this always blew my mind, and I expect it'll blow his as well, where people take a job simply because they want the pastor to notice. Okay? They want to be important to the pastor. I can never figure that one out. You know, me. I know me. You want to be important to me? There's more. There's other people you can be important to. That's going to get more for you than me. And so, but you see, what's the motivation? And here again, don't quit. You know, if the Spirit of God convicts you about something, don't quit. Just get the motive right. keep the job, but get the motive right. And if God says, no, I can't get you right on this one, okay, then you need to resign and wait until God opens the door. You say, well, how do I know when he opens the door? You'll know.
Yeah, amen.
When you're praying and seeking the Lord's leading, you'll know. Then lastly, isn't that, aren't those sweet words? Lastly. Thank you, Pastor. Somebody had to get that. And this is, in a sense, the saddest one, and that is sin. There's times where people quit the work that they're doing. Goodbye now, Paul. There's times where people quit because of sin. They're a Christian who's out of fellowship, as we say, backslidden. They're not walking with the Lord. Too many times this happens, and a person just continues to serve. And after a while, it gets to be just too much pressure on them, so they quit. And the solution, if a person finds themselves in a place of service and know that they're living in a way that is grieving the Spirit and that they have sin in their life, the solution is not to quit, it's to repent.
Amen.
Repent of the sin, get it out of the life so the service can continue rightly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You know, we can learn from the mosquito. Now, mosquito can be a very pesty thing, can't it? And how can that little thing make so much noise? Okay? And no matter how much you swat at it, or try to brush it away, or, you know, I use the old holiness trick and take out my hanky. The holiness do this, that's why I say that. And wait, you know, that'll be even more than my hand, because that's extra something floating around there. And so, you can't get rid of it. You might deter it for a little bit, but then after a while, you know, and you look for it, can't see it. What am I saying? Good lesson that we can learn from the mosquito is they never give up. When they want blood from you, they will stick with it until they get it.
Amen.
The only reason they will stop is if you pull out the raid, or you do happen to, ooh, it got it. Okay? You say, well, how does that fit in your illustration? There's too many Christians that have been serving, they've gotten into sin, and they've quit serving, they've dropped out of the Christian life. It's a real sad thing. What is their actual status? Were they just like seed that grew up in stony soil, or were they choked out by the cares and riches of the world? Were they ever real or not? It's hard for us to tell, because we can just evaluate by the fruit that they bear or don't bear. But the fact of the matter is, we who want to serve the Lord, we who want to live, need to do so like the mosquito. Just never give up and keep at it. And to that, Galatians 6:9 says, and let this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so there, Paul in Galatians and in Thessalonians is telling us to not be weary. When Paul spoke of doing good, it was not social deeds. We can use mowing a neighbor's lawn, taking something in for them to eat when they're sick, or giving somebody a ride to the doctor, the store. We can use those kind of social goods to be a witness and a testimony. But when Paul says that we are to be doing good, he was talking about the spiritual service that we give in our own church, in our own lives, the faithfulness in prayer and scripture reading and witnessing. And hey, I'll stop with this. It was not his idea that we should govern this by how busy we are.
Yep.
You see, our obedience to the Lord is not determined by how busy we are. Our spirituality is not determined by how busy we are. But it's what we're doing that Christ has led us in. Okay, we're going to take some prayer requests. I have several here I'd like to give. We want to be praying for the Morris, Sam and Tim.